Hello, podcast listeners. We know podcasts are a great way to catch up on a program that you may have missed on KSJE, and it's provided as a free service of this radio station. But you know, KSJE is now listener-supported, and so while you enjoy this podcast, we hope that you'll also take some time to join KSJE. Become a member today. It's quite easy to do. Just go to our website at ksje.com/support and pick the level of support that best matches your budget. Thanks again for listening. Here's your podcast. Well, with that being said, let me turn to my guest who is going to join us this morning from his offices in Farmington. Community Works Director David Seifer is joining us via Zoom this morning. Mr. Seifer, good morning.
Good morning, Scott.
Good to see you. Thank you for joining me. I appreciate it. I wanted to talk to you about drought, but that weather forecast doesn't sound like a drought forecast, but I know it's going to take a lot of rain to get us out of this, right?
I wish it was more substantive. I know different weather reports only calls it out for one day.
Oh, okay.
And maybe 2 days up in our headwaters, which is Silverton, which the snow is even more important.
Right.
This time of year as our snow season begins.
That's what you're looking at. And I know when you advise the city council and the mayor, of course, you were looking kind of far out in the distance of what those long-range moisture forecasts are telling you. And that was the reason for this stage one advisory coming out, as I mentioned, maybe what, end of August, early September, correct?
Yeah, that's exact. What happened in early September, we did this advisory because the long-range forecast is only a 33% probability of getting some rain that would be normal. So we are concerned. Our main concern, of course, we have several indicators, and we can get in and talk about those if you'd like.
Sure.
So the main indicators that we have is being able to keep the lake full. The next one is the forecast of long-range forecast of precipitation.
Right.
And then we have a drought index called the Palmer Index, and finally a stream flow. And when we looked at all those indicators, we get a bit concerned. This morning I was checking it out, and we're about 15% below. We're only 15% of normal, I should say.
Oh.
In our stream flow.
Right. Well, I was going to say this kind of follows a pretty dry year anyway, right? That we've kind of been through after the spring. I think things were looking pretty good, but then the summer was really dry. The monsoons were almost non-existent, and that means a lot too for not just our immediate area, but also the high country, as you mentioned, the headwaters and things like that. Some of those mountain storms didn't really materialize all that much this fall, correct?
No, they did not, and that is the concern. And in the arid region that we live in, things can change just so rapidly. So, for example, if we have a bad snowpack this year, we'll be in trouble next summer. So this has kind of taken some of the reserves out of ourselves, so to speak. And so we're being very cautious. At present, we're actually in pretty good shape just because the irrigation season is ending. And we actually have had a wonderful response from our public. When we pulled the trigger on this drought warning, as it were, we asked that the public cut their consumption by 10%, and they've done that.
Wow, that's great. And that's what you asked. That's what stage one is asking. Again, it's kind of a voluntary water conservation, as we're showing folks right now, of what that means. And then specifically, the stage one is asking some specific things, and we can kind of talk about those. And I know the city's website has these all spelled out as well, but as we scroll around, we can kind of talk about cutting the water use by 10%, as you mentioned, only watering during certain hours of the day. And, of course, that season is ending here as the weather gets colder, right?
That's exactly right. But I would say this about one of the big responsibilities that City Council takes very seriously, and that's the fact that we have contracted water users that total about half of our water demand in the summer. And so it's very important to keep our lake full. So I wanted to address that just a little bit, because some people feel like, the city's lake's full, so there's no worries. Well, the point is it needs to be full. We don't want to be in the situation next summer where we have to start in severe drought and not have any reserves. That reserves gives us what we need to get through. That is true. But you want that reserve so you can get through,
right,
should things turn bad in the snowpack this winter.
Very true. And I know, again, a great kudos to earlier city councils who put that through to build Farmington Lake and to have it serve as a reservoir for years when the water isn't coming naturally. And it usually gives you a little bit of breathing room. I forget, just with the increasing population, David Cipher, just how much of a supply you have at Farmington Lake if you were to need to use it. But isn't it several months worth?
We actually have up to 120 days if everybody would conserve water like we would need to. And of course, in an extreme drought, we would actually even potentially limit irrigation to zero. You know, I mean, that's the potential, right?
Sure.
When it comes down to it, drinking water is more important.
Right. And you mentioned some of those contract users of water with the city, and maybe you can explain a little bit what that means. Are we talking the big municipal or industrial users? Is that kind of what you're meaning?
We're talking about, we're not living on an island. We truly do have neighbors, and our neighbors depend on us. We've inherited that role, I suppose, and over time exercise that. I'm getting to a piece. So that includes like the Animas Valley Water.
I got
company,
you.
Flora Vista, it means lower valley area, Shiprock, and Upper La Plata. So all those are dependent upon us for drinking water.
Thank you. I understand now. Those are other water systems that are tied into the Farmington system. And that's when you're talking about customers, they're additional customers.
Largely, a lot of those are independent until a drought hits.
Right. And then they look to you.
Right.
Then they call you. And that's where we are. And so so once again, as we wrap up this part of the conversation, the long-range forecasts are not good for water, snowfall, what have you, this winter. And that was the reason behind this Stage 1 declaration a couple of months ago. And the city, you'll keep watching these numbers and conditions and, I guess, advise the council accordingly then, correct, as we move forward?
That is true. And even towards the tail end of summer, it also was, it's not alarming, but it was just a bit of a concern that we're having a difficulty keeping our lake at 100%. During a forecasted drought, the state calls this a severe drought, we want to be able to keep it at 100%. And right now we're at 97%, and that's great. It's really not bad at all going into winter, but it's just that we had to work real hard to even achieve that.
Sure. Well, if you draw that down, I guess the concern is having to get it back up to that 97%, if you even can, by spring. If there's no runoff like we expect.
Yeah, exactly. And so with spring runoff, we're pretty well guaranteed we'll start the year at 100%, but that all depends on what the stream's going to be able to replenish throughout the summer due to whatever snowpack we end up with.
Gotcha. Very good. My guest this morning, David Cipher, is on the program with me. He is the City of Farmington's Community Works Director. We're talking about Stage 1 drought that has been announced for the City of Farmington. And as Mr. Cipher's already told us, that users have already cut back by the recommended 10%. And so that puts the city in pretty good shape as we head into the winter months. And so let's change gears a little bit, Mr. Cipher, and talk about construction projects, as that is also under your purview. I guess the biggest one that certainly folks are watching with anticipation to be ending hopefully within a month or so is Phase 2 of the Downtown Complete Streets project, which really has been complete. You've been really tackling a lot of different things in addition to just things that we can see. How's Phase 2 going?
Well, Phase 2 is doing very well. We learned a lot from Phase 1. In that, with similar soil types and the era of construction, the surprises that occurred and the storm drain issues, those things were all good learning from Phase 1. And so we really had an accelerated pace in Phase 2. Things are looking very well. We'll be hitting some, beginning our paving the first week of November, which is just excellent. And so we will be done, projected barring favorable weather, before Thanksgiving.
Excellent. And that's been by design, if I remember correctly. I know the city was in contact with the merchants downtown, and the reason this whole project was started in the winter months, if you will, or late winter, was to wrap things up in time for the holiday shopping season, which it sounds like if you're going to be done, knock on wood, weather permitting, by Thanksgiving, you're on track.
Yes, we are on track, and we're pleased about that. There's been some surprises, like I mentioned, storm drain system that took a little longer, and we had some surprises, but we think we made up most of that ground, and we're really looking forward to a fantastic holiday season in the downtown core.
Very nice. And that, again, is some of the things that this project encompassed, which was not just changing the streetscape a little bit, or a lot, pardon me, and also working on some of the utilities, the underground things that we can't see. Storm drains was one of them, to try to manage some of that water downtown and avoid some of the flooding problems that some of those businesses and buildings had for years and years and years. But there were other projects too, right? I think new water lines and sewer things,
yes,
and the whole gamut, right? I mean, when I say complete,
well, yeah, just like you and I have talked before, we do not want to get into the situation when you put down new pavement that you're tearing it up. I mean, there's things you can't control, that does happen from time to time. But in large part, we did all we can to eliminate those possibilities. When you have a beautiful new project, you don't want to tear it back up. So we redone the sewer, the water, the storm water, and all the service connections. We started from the ground up. Put in new soil bases and then now the actual asphalt will go back down in pavement markings. New light poles. I mean, it's new sidewalks. It's just beautiful. And you've been down and seen part of phase one.
Of course, right.
Great.
And it looks totally different. And I think we already see with phase one. You know, the restaurants have been able to use some of the extra space for their outdoor dining. It seems almost made for this COVID time that we're living in, but to be able to allow restaurants to expand out their front doors or side doors, and all the other improvements that we see. One of the things, too, how are we doing with our roundabouts, David Cipher? That was one of the other additions to complete streets and taking out stoplights and putting in roundabouts throughout downtown. Phase one has a couple. Phase two will have some more. And are we getting better at navigating our roundabouts in Farmington?
We are learning. I mean, of course, this is a tool used that saves a lot of time and money, as long as your average daily traffic is within certain ranges, and ours are really within those ranges solidly. So we're very pleased that we can use this technology. It's a win-win for both the public and the people that are from outside of town. But, you know, the difficulty here is the large truck traffic getting the message and getting trained. And anytime you have a large traffic revision like that, the local public will learn it and come to appreciate it. I've gotten a lot of positive comments back on it. But the truck traffic is the one, as the Google Maps and those different programs that are used to navigate when you don't, you know, you're just passing through town.
Right.
They can't go through the downtown core anymore with those roundabouts. And that was by design. That is what the merchants wanted. And so that is a learning curve. And that's probably our only remaining difficulty. We have some good plans to help with that. Already we contacted Google, and Google has now updated their navigation maps. So
nice to direct them off of Main Street.
But this is it'll be a process. Major traffic revisions, we plan on 3 to 6 months learning curves.
I gotcha. And I imagine there's some signage maybe that can be helpful too, if all else fails, to just warn truckers as they're approaching downtown that they need to maybe just go a block over to Broadway and they'd be no problem.
Yeah, our big education stretch is for westbound traffic, and that starts over on Browning Parkway. They have three warning sets of signs that are up currently, and we may put up a fourth later. So it's well posted. The problem is like I said, the rookie who isn't aware and is driving through Farmington for the first time and is following their GPS.
Gotcha.
And not paying attention to the signs.
Understood. I want to ask you a bit about some of the other construction projects in addition to Complete Streets. You mentioned paving on phase two. We'll be starting here in the next few weeks, it sounds like.
Yes.
The city's been...
That is true for the downtown core. And really this entire year, all throughout town, we've done over $5 million worth of paving projects. Things went, we're getting better and better at it. Things went pretty smooth. The public really has been supportive, and we're getting a lot of work done. In fact, we're down to basically for this year, our last two projects, one over off of Clubhouse Drive.
Country Club, or a clubhouse. Okay.
Another one on East Main that's finishing up.
Gotcha. Very good. Well, yeah, it seemed like you all were paving almost everything in sight at some points over the summer, but that was by design. I imagine it's probably pretty economical to do a lot of these projects together if you have the equipment and the people here to do that, right? Is that something you contract out, or do you have folks on staff that, and machinery on staff to do these things?
No, we just do patching with our staff. Patching, crack sealing,
okay.
Some chip seal, but in large part, it's all contracted out.
Understood. So that machinery is specialized that you then bring in, and so it makes sense to have it working as long as it's here. You don't want it sitting idle for a week or two waiting for something else to start up, I suppose.
No, it has other things in our lives. There's an economy of scale, and there's also,
right.
The mobilization cost a lot of times is a big piece of it, so you want to take advantage of it while it's here.
Understood. And what's coming up maybe in the future then, if we can talk about a couple of major things?
We are finishing up a storm drain project on Villa View. That's a really nice project that actually is making a retention pond and a playing field over at the Country Club schools just off of Foothills there.
Nice.
So that's a nice little project, and that'll be winding up here in about 30 days.
And that is partial, as you mentioned, kind of flood control to a little degree. It's a partnership with the school district, I believe, but that's a needed thing in that neighborhood, I know.
Yes, it's wonderful. And then this spring, we're also going to start the second phase of Foothills Drive from Rinconada to Mesa del Oso. And also, we're going to start the final phase of the 20th Street sidewalk, where we're doing all the power lines underground and the sidewalks to meet all ADA requirements. So that'll be a nice one to be finally done with. And then we're going to work on Upper Dustin resurfacing also next summer.
Gotcha. Very good. And you mentioned the city's budget of about, what, $5 million that you spent on paving projects this year. I know as money maybe gets tight, what are you expecting for next year? Is it still around that same level, or is the budget a little lower?
I'm glad you asked that question, because what occurred 2 years ago was that we had a bonding of about $12 million, and we, over the course of the last 2 years, 2 years and 3 months, we've actually accomplished that many projects, and that's just a huge quantity. It represents a great effort. So our standard amount outside of bonding, it will probably be about $4 million projects. So we'll probably continue on a $4 million pace so we can keep up with the normal wear and tear of things.
Well, that's a good point, too, I think, that, again, as cities kind of are maintaining what they have, that's really important, because if you don't do that, then the costs, I would assume, to replace roads go up, or if a road just turns to gravel, then you have that to deal with as well, right? If you're not repaving it and maintaining it, that's an issue.
Yeah, we have a pavement management plan where we inventory the condition of our streets and try to stay on top of that. When we first started that program 6 years ago, we had some in a state of reconstruction. In other words, as you mentioned, it's a 7-to-1 ratio on the cost. So we try to avoid that problem because it's so expensive for our public. If we can stay ahead of the curve, we don't end up with that 7 times cost for reconstruction. And so then what we do, and that's why people kind of wonder, why are you guys paving this? This street's in better shape than the other street over here. Why are you doing that? Well, that's because we inherited a situation where the street was already in reconstruction state, if you will, or condition. And so we go backwards sometimes and catch those as we can, when we can do it with our own forces or find a grant that's why some of the bad streets stay get delayed in getting fixed sometimes, just because it's cost so much more money and the return on investment for our citizens is not good. So it takes a little while sometimes to get the ones that we lost several years ago.
I see. Interesting. And I guess, too, if you've got maybe some underground work that's coming to some of those neighborhoods, you don't want to pave something, as you mentioned, and then dig it up, because that doesn't help anybody.
Sure. So what we do that when we are formulating our projects for that next year, our team goes to the survey, sees what the conditions are. And then the next step is to send it out to all the utilities to make sure that their utilities underneath that section is in good state. And if not, we may delay that section a year while they have a chance to replace the water line or the sewer line or the electricity or whatever the case might be.
Sure. Understood. Well, we just have a couple of minutes remaining this morning. David Seifer, let me ask you a bit about traffic. And we talked about roundabouts a little bit downtown. There, of course, is another one up on Foothills Drive that seems to be doing what it was designed to do, right, which is to kind of calm traffic down, especially when traffic is coming down off the hill there at Rinconada. What are some of the other traffic areas that you're looking at?
Well, we've done a couple improvements. We're trying to get some speed control. One of the things, we have a place on Carlton that we've received several speed concerns throughout the years. We've done some studies, and the problem was always that it was too steep in the area to utilize our traffic control humps that control speed. And so we're trying to use a few other test methods right now. We've installed a little temporary traffic circle and also a little choker, a double choker at another location. And so we're trying those out and see if we can help the public with the speed control.
Gotcha. And that makes sense. And Carlton, again, for folks maybe not familiar with the street, that's that road between kind of like 30th and Butler that kind of cuts over the hill there. And there are a couple of humps at the top of that hill, but I understand what you're saying is on that downward slope, you probably can't put a hump in to slow things down.
That is correct. It wouldn't be safe.
Right.
We the traffic team has done so many good things this year in making improvements in our signage and also opening it up. We're trying to diversify our economy. The council and mayor have had a fantastic idea with this outdoor recreation. And part of that is biking. And if we have over wide and traffic complaints about speed abuse, it's also nice to narrow the lanes and then create bike lanes. And we've been doing that throughout town also. So our traffic division has been very, very busy.
Indeed. And there's some great, I know, maps of some of the biking routes now that have been designated throughout the town and ways to kind of almost get across town using some of these new bike lanes that have been added to city streets.
That's right. And we're making bike routes. Those routes are being signed now, and we're about 60% done. Our staff works that in whenever they can to finish up those routes. But the map is on our website.
Very good. Well, David Seifer, I appreciate your time this morning. Again, if I can get you on the record, phase two of downtown Complete Streets is on target, you think, for completion by Thanksgiving. You said it. We have you on tape.
Yes. You know what? I feel real good about that and confident about that. But the only caveat there, Scott, is weather.
Understood.
So I can't control that.
Well, when you can, you let me know, because that'll be a big deal. Good to speak with you, David Seifer. Thank you for your time this morning.
Thank you, Scott. Thank you for your time today.
You bet. Take care. That is David Seifer. He is the Community Works Director with the City of Farmington. My guest this morning here on KSJE. The time right now, 8:38. Did you enjoy that podcast? We hope that you did. And if you did, share it with your friends. And if you really want to keep podcasts like this coming, please support KSJE. You can do it easily online at ksje.com.